On this week's Northern From Adam podcast, we sit down with two college quarterbacks who will be making plenty of headlines on Saturdays this fall. They also, at some point in the future, will be making plenty of headlines on Sundays in the fall. Sam Darnold, the USC quarterback who opens his season Saturday, September 2nd at home against Western Michigan, and Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen, who opens his season Saturday, September 2nd at Iowa versus Iowa. Both will be on this week's podcast. First, Sam Darnold. Sam, thanks very much for taking some time today. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Thank you again. We'll cover a few different areas, but wanted to start with this one, I guess. In your opinion, do football and school go together?
Yeah. I think as a student athlete, I definitely think, especially for us at USC, at such a great university, it's definitely an honor to be able to go to a school like this, share great memories with the students, and be able to perform on the field at the same time. I think, I look at it as more of an honor than anything, and I enjoy it. I love going to class. I love seeing the students, and some of my teammates are in my classes, and it's always fun to be able to share different ideas with them and be able to talk about things other than football. And I think whenever you have that opportunity, it's always an honor.
How much of an issue is it to juggle all that you have to get done with school and all you have to get done with football?
Yeah, it's definitely hard. Juggling, especially here at SC, we have sometimes we can have a lot of schoolwork, but we definitely get a lot of help as well. The tutors do a great job here, and the whole staff really does a great job with making sure that, we go to tutoring, we get our schoolwork done, and we're able to remain eligible and really succeed in the classroom. And I think with all the help that we get and, having just that tradition of excellence here at SC, for me personally, I can't help but succeed here. And, it's been awesome being able to share memories with the students and my teammates in the classroom.
Good for you. And, of course, we're referencing a statement that Josh Rosen made about football
right.
and school not going together. And I'm just curious, with you guys both playing quarterback in the same city, what is the relationship like between the two of you?
Yeah, I mean, Josh contacted me, a few weeks ago, and just kind of, it's interesting because we're both in the same situation, in the same city, and, I haven't talked to him since. I mean, we wanted to grab a bite to eat, maybe talk about some different things going on, but we never got the chance to. But Josh is a great guy. I met him at Elite 11 in 2014. So I met him there and then talked to him a little bit when we played him last year. And hopefully I get the chance to play against him this time, this upcoming season. But, we share, we're both, successful quarterbacks at USC and UCLA. So it's always, whenever I can have a conversation with him, it's always, exciting and something that I always look forward to.
Well, there's probably not too many people who could identify exactly what you do better than he can. And when you speak to somebody
right.
like that, I would imagine that there's a certain comfort zone and a certain understanding that not a lot of people can have. Have you found that to be the case with him?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I think just both of us talking together, I think we can share stories and we can kind of bounce, ideas back and forth about how we deal with, teammates and just how to step into a leadership role and all that kind of stuff. So whenever you can talk to someone who's in the same shoes as you are, it's beneficial in all aspects of life.
Sam, you are the preseason favorite to win the 2017 Heisman Trophy, according to the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's such an honor to even be mentioned in that conversation. But, I'm not naive to the fact that with team success comes individual success. So, we have to have a great year for me to win that award. It'd be amazing. It'd be a dream come true to win that award. But it really comes down to just having a great year and taking it one game at a time, honestly.
There have been enough Heisman Trophies awarded to USC over time. Any of those Heisman Trophy winners give you any advice that has resonated with you through your time at school there?
Yeah, you know, I've talked to Matt Leinart and Carson Palmer, and you know, they've just said the same thing I just told you. Just taking it one game at a time, and really just embracing every moment you get at SC, because it doesn't last very long. You know, it's, and I think that's what I'm trying to do. I'm really just trying to embrace every moment and not take anything for granted. And I think if I do that, then I'll have a great year, and you know, we'll see what happens.
What are your hopes and expectations for this year, Sam?
I think we're really set to win a national championship. I mean, but you know, first of all, we got to win the Pac-12 South, which isn't easy.
Yep.
And then the Pac-12. So, but yeah, we're really set on a national championship. You know, we can definitely do it. We definitely have the tools. We have the athletes, the big men up front to do it. So it's just a matter of executing and really not beating ourselves. And if we can do that, then I think we'll be fun.
National championship.
Yeah.
What's it like when you envision winning the national championship? Should you be able to carry through with that goal?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to envision, honestly, because I haven't won anything like that before. But just watching last year with what Deshaun did, you know, that last drive, that's kind of how I envision it. Because obviously in the national championship, you're going to be playing against a great team. And, you know, I think it's going to come down to the wire, and whoever has the ball last, you know, might win. So that's kind of what I envision, you know, a last minute drive, you know, winning the game for your team, and, you know, just something like that. And that's really what I envision.
Yeah.
But trying, you know, not to get ahead of myself or anything, but that's really what I envision, honestly.
Did you say that you've never won a championship before, any level, in anything?
I might have won, you know, a Pop Warner championship or, you know, a Little League championship, but, you know, I didn't win a championship in high school. I mean, we won our league, but we never won, you know, the state championship or anything like that. So, I mean, I have experience, you know, late in the year playing late games, but, you know, if we win the national championship, that will be, you know, the next step.
What are the aspects of your game that you believe you still need to improve on? And I'm sure there are a lot of areas, but what immediately comes to mind when I ask you that question, Sam?
Yeah, definitely a lot of areas that I can improve on. But, you know, I think one of the areas is really just getting better in the film room, you know, learning how to watch film, really being detailed with my notes, and just looking at everything really, you know, with a magnifying glass. Honestly, you got to be perfect if you want to be great at this game. And, you know, I'm aware of that. And I think any great quarterback who is still playing or played in the past would tell you the same thing. So I really think just getting better in the film room and just continuing to grow in that aspect is what I need to get better at and can always improve on.
Here's a rather broad question for you. You are a consensus All-American. You may win the Heisman Trophy. You're shooting for a national championship. You're going to school at USC. You're a potential first-round draft pick in the NFL, maybe the number one overall pick. Who knows? What's it like to be a college student on a campus at USC and to have all this going on in your life? What is that like for somebody who has never had much athletic skill or prowess in his life? Give me an idea and a glimpse into what it's like to be Sam Darnold with those kind of credentials.
Yeah, it's a fair question. No, definitely on the USC campus, you know, we have a rich, you know, football tradition here, and I really embrace it. And whenever I walk around campus and someone wants a picture or they want me to sign something, I embrace it. And, you know, I love all the students here. You know, when they get excited about games, it just fires me up that much more. And, you know, that's something that's really special about USC, that you really honestly can't get a lot of other places. And, you know, that's why I came here. I came here to be a part of something special. And I think just walking around campus and seeing everyone who either wants to take a picture with me or just says hi, I think that fuels me to want to be, you know, a great player, but also have great success with my teammates. So, you know, that's definitely, you know, I embrace it. It can get hectic at times, mm-hmm. But I think that's the only thing you can do is embrace it, because if you don't, I think you might get lost in all that.
You say it can get hectic at times. Give me an example of a time it got hectic for you.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I'm walking around and one person notices me or, sees who I am, then they'll come up and take a picture, and then all the other people around will kind of get the nerve to ask for a picture. So that's when it can kind of get hectic, the snowball effect. So that can happen sometimes, but like I said, you just got to embrace it and have fun with it.
Growing up in the Los Angeles area, going to school in the area, have there been any celebrities that you've had the chance to meet where the roles are sort of reversed, where you once wanted to take a picture with that particular person that you had the opportunity to do that with?
Not one person in particular comes to mind. I mean, maybe I was doing a little Pac-12 Network Fox Sports thing with Matt Leinart the other day, and it was funny because he was interviewing me, and I always looked up to him as a college football player and even as an NFL quarterback. So I think, in the moment you don't really realize it, but then after, when you think about it, it kind of, it's kind of surreal. So I think that's a pretty good example of that.
You bring up Matt Leinart. I think back to that Texas game for the national championship in 2006. You're going to play Texas on September 16th this year for the first time since 2006. How much
Right.
do you remember that game between USC and Texas back then?
Pretty vividly, honestly. That was a sad day for Trojan fans. But we're definitely looking forward to getting back out there in that third game and getting after it. So that'll be fun. It'll be fun to see, all the fans and, how many Texas fans come out for it. And I think the Coliseum's going to be rocking.
Sam, the NFL is sometime in the future, but how much have you heard about the quote-unquote "suck for Sam" campaign that many have come up with related to the New York Jets?
Yeah, I've heard about it. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got to
And is there one NFL team that one day you would like to play for?
say. I mean, not one in particular. I think whenever you get the opportunity to play in the NFL, that's something special in itself. So, wherever I go in the future, whenever that is, I think, I'm just gonna embrace it just like I embrace being a student athlete here at USC. Just take it one step at a time, and whatever journey I go on, God has a plan for me, and I believe in that. So I'm just gonna continue to take it one step at a time.
Sam, before I let you go, I'd like to wrap up these podcasts with a couple of quick questions. And I want to ask you, what's the last time you can recall crying?
Probably when my good friend Nick Pasquale, he was a walk-on at UCLA. He passed away tragically in a car accident. So that was probably one of the last times.
And when was that, if you don't mind me asking?
That was my junior year of high school,
Wow.
so 2014.
My condolences. What about if you had, one more meal to eat on this earth, one last meal at one last place, where
Dang.
would it be and what would it be?
Shoot. Honestly, probably at home, something my mom made. Maybe like, I don't know, steak and potatoes, something like that, something along those lines.
That's mom's specialty.
Yeah, she can grill a little bit.
That's pretty good. And then who would be
Yeah.
at that meal, excluding family members? If I could say you could invite any four people, living, dead, whatever it may be, you got four people to bring to mom's steak and potatoes dinner. Who's coming?
Got Tom Brady, Kobe for sure, Michael Jordan, and then to throw a non-athlete in there, probably Bill Burr.
Have you had the chance to meet any of those individuals at all?
I have not. No, I think that's why I would want them to come to that dinner, is because, I haven't gotten a chance to meet him yet.
Well, I think that day may come there, Sam.
Hopefully, maybe one day.
Appreciate you taking some time today. Good luck with the coming college football season. Look forward to our paths crossing down the line, and best of luck to you this year at USC.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam. We'll be back with more from Josh Allen after this. Hello, Josh.
How's it going, Adam?
First of all, thank you for taking the time to join us today. I really appreciate that.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I was looking forward to this. I have been looking forward to this, and just curious to see your reaction when you hear a guy like Todd McShay peg you as the number 2 overall pick in his way too early mock draft. And You hear the words that have come out where personnel directors have pegged you as the potential number one pick in the draft next year. How do you focus on football and what's going on at Wyoming when you have other people saying the things that they have?
You know, it's kind of hard to push everything to the side because it is so apparent on, you know, social medias and stuff like that. But, I've done a really good job pushing everything to the side because I definitely do think it's premature. You know, we got 14 games, and I got 14 games to prove, you know, those people who said I'm worthy of that number one overall pick or the first quarterback taken. So I'm going to go out there this year and, you know, prove them right. But at the same time, I'm completely focused on winning games for the Wyoming Cowboys.
But when you do hear that talk, Josh, how does that make you feel?
I mean, it definitely makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you're doing the right things. I've got a great coaching staff over here, some really great teammates that I wouldn't trade for the world. So, you know, as much as it is about me, it's about the program and, you know, what our coaches have been able to do here in the short amount of time that they've been here.
Tell me this, Josh. How does a player go from high school where he did not have a single D1 offer to the potential number one pick in the 2018 draft? How does that happen?
Well, you know, it's not a thing that I did by myself. You know, like I said, I have some really great coaches here. I've got a great family that they've supported me in everything I've done. It's been a long road, I'll tell you that, but, you know, there's multiple journeys to get to a specific destination, and mine just happened to be, you know, the JUCO route and going to a small non-Power 5 conference school, you know, in the University of Wyoming, and, you know, just playing to my full potential here. And, you know, that speaks volumes to, like I said, our coaches. Yep. And they've helped me out a tremendous amount. You know, I'm just blessed and proud to be a Wyoming Cowboy and go out in the field every Saturday and show why I am one of the best quarterbacks in the nation.
Josh, how did you get to Wyoming? How did Wyoming enter into the picture?
Well, so my junior college, my first semester there, I didn't start my first three games. I ended up starting the last seven. I had really good numbers. I think I had combined a 36 touchdown, rushing and passing, within seven or eight starts. So numbers were really good. Coach Brown, David Brown, he's not here anymore, but he was the first one to contact me on email. Coach Vegan flew out to see me in Reedley. He told me, we're going to fly you out and we're going to have you visit. We're going to off you next week. And went on my visit. Coach Bull came and saw me and my family, and I was committed and signed probably within a two-week time period to when they started talking to me.
And you broke your collarbone in your first start at Wyoming in 2015. How was your collarbone injury actually a blessing?
It was absolutely a blessing. You know, I still hadn't completely grasped the offense yet. I was still kind of growing into my body. So being able to sit out a year and take mental reps and actually transform my body to be bigger, faster, stronger, to get the leadership role and the trust of everybody on the team. So when I stepped on the field last year, it was my team. And the year before that, it was kind of a quarterback competition. There was a redshirt senior who had transferred the year before, so he was eager to play as well. I mean, it was devastating to break my collarbone. I put in a lot of work to be the starter. But, you know, looking back at it was absolutely a blessing in disguise.
You mentioned transforming your body. How did you do that?
You know, rehabbing. First off, my shoulder. I was able to retrain my muscles, and my arm actually got a little stronger from breaking my collarbone. You know, and then getting in the weight room with our training staff and, you know, putting on about 15 good pounds. I was able to drop my 40-yard dash time to around a 4.6.
Wow.
So, I mean, yeah, I was moving, but I mean, I was still probably 220 pounds, and you know, my body felt extremely great last year, and you know, it's feeling even better this year.
You know what your quarterback coach friend George Whitfield said about your body over the spring? He said, "Imagine if Ferrari made an SUV, hard worker, mythical skill set, but a Ferrari making an SUV, that would be you." That's quite a compliment there, Josh.
It's an extreme compliment. George is one of the greatest guys I've ever met, and he's a really good guy.
Now, coming into the season, you are 100-1 to win the 2017 Heisman Trophy. Are those realistic odds, and can that be done?
No, I'd like to say no. You know, I mean, as cool as it would be to be a Heisman winner and you know, get all those accolades and awards, but you know, realistically, I'm a realist, and being a group of five quarterback win it, you know, I don't think that'll happen. You know, but to be mentioned with the Heisman and to be thrown in with some of the great names in college football right now, like the Sam Darnolds and Lamar Jacksons and, you know, all those other guys who, you know, are competing for that spot. But, you know, I'm completely focused on winning games here. And if we have a perfect record at the end of the year and, you know what, I'm you know, at the ceremony and I've got a chance to win, you know, that's just kind of the cherry on top.
Now, Josh, you had a chance to work with Sam Darnold or be with Sam Darnold and Lamar Jackson at the Manning Passing Academy this summer. How much interaction did you get to have with those guys?
Oh, we interacted a lot. And I actually knew Sam before the Manning Passing Academy. We worked out with Jordan Palmer a couple times. So, you know, me and Sam have a really good relationship. You know, we talk, you know, a few times a week and, you know, just kind of checking in and see how he's doing. But Lamar Jackson getting to meet him was really cool. He's a pretty quiet guy. And I was kind of surprised about that. But he's completely focused on football. And, you know, being at the Manning Passing Academy with 41 other quarterbacks, you know, just talking football and life and, you know, how everybody handles their own situations and their bigger schools and how they run their offenses. It was really fun and it was a really cool experience for me.
You bring up those lessons. What was one lesson you took out of the Manning Passing Academy for yourself?
Well, you know, we got to ask Peyton and Eli a lot of questions, and they were very honest with their answers. You know, I took away how Peyton and Eli prepare for games. Their film study, you know, the week prior to a game is very disciplined. It's very, you know, scheduled, and they don't, you know, really stray from that. So, you know, how they ever, you know, I've got it down to science now because of them. And they've told me, and, you know, I'm trying to adapt to it, and hopefully that'll, you know, be my film schedule for the next 15, 20 years.
How much attention have you paid to the quarterbacks at the NFL level? And is there a certain quarterback that you've tried to model your game after?
You know, growing up, you know, I've always wanted to be an NFL quarterback. So that's really all I focused on, you know, watching games on Sunday. And me and my dad would sit there, and literally every Sunday we would watch almost every game that was on TV. So I like to model myself after Aaron Rodgers just because he's able to do some things off platform that nobody in the world can do. And he's extremely good. He's got a cannon for an arm. Obviously, Tom Brady, in my opinion, is the greatest quarterback of all time, just how he, you know, mentally prepares for every game and how he's able to, you know, no task is too tall for him, it seems like, because he's always ready. And, you know, going back even a few years before this, Brett Favre was one of my favorites to watch, you know, the gunslinger mentality, and that's what kind of people have said about me, that I'm a little reckless, but sometimes you get away with it. So, you know, there's a few quarterbacks that I've admired and I've idled growing up.
That's interesting that you say that you love to watch football with your dad, because some people are of the mind that they don't even like to watch it. They like to have their own life. But the scouting report on you is that you couldn't live without football, that you got a passion for it. Would you say that that's accurate, Josh?
Oh, it's 100% accurate. Growing up, I've never thought of myself doing anything else but being a professional quarterback.
And, wow.
You know, to be this close and, you know, to see my dreams starting to come to reality.
So when you don't get a single D1 offer out of high school, do you think that your dream and your hope is basically shattered?
Definitely not. You know, I was going to find a way. You know, there were some doubts at some moments, and, you know, it was very difficult to see the bigger picture, but I was completely, you know, confident in myself, and you know, I just knew I had a feeling that, you know, I feel like I was born to play football and be able to get to a stage where I can, you know, help people. So, you know, football, I think, is my platform to go out there and do some really good things.
Like what?
You know, whether it be giving back to my community, my high school. You know, I come from a small community. It's about 5,000 to 6,000 people, and it's primarily Hispanic. So, you know, going back and holding camps for the youth out there and showing that even from a small community like this, you can go out and you can do big things. So, you know, I plan on inspiring a lot of kids, and hopefully my story kind of does that now.
And what is it that you need to work on your game this season? What do you need to improve this year, Josh?
Definite decision-making. You know, last year there was a few times I learned by trial and error. Just learning what I can and can't do, whether it be rolling to my right, not throwing behind my body. If it's, you know, seeing a safety run in a certain direction, I can, you know, depict what coverage it is and, you know, get to my next read where the ball should go. You know, that's a lot of film work. That's a lot of, like I said, trial by error. And, you know, I feel like last year's experiences are going to help me this year, and it's going to be a completely different look for our offense.
couple of random questions before we wrap up about this podcast, Josh, and I appreciate you joining us today. But in Wyoming, I'm just curious, have you ever been to Yellowstone Park?
I've never been to Yellowstone. My parents actually came up to Wyoming a few weeks ago. We were planning on, you know, taking a trip up there. We only had a day and a half, so we decided that it's about a 6.5-7 hour ride, and we decided to hold off for another time. So, but it's definitely on the bucket list, and you know, we'll be crossing it off probably in the next year or two.
Good. You got to get to that before you leave school at some point. That's something you got to get done there, Josh.
For sure, I'll take that, you know, advice into extreme consideration.
And I'm just curious, with as much thought as you've given to becoming a professional quarterback one day, is there an ideal landing spot for you, a franchise that you would love to land with? Anything like that that's in your mind right now?
I grew up a Niners fan. It's about two and a half hours from my hometown, so it'd be easy for my family to commute there. Yep. Obviously, they have a long storied tradition of great quarterbacks with, you know, Steve Young, Joe Montana, and, you know, that'd be, you know, it's my favorite team, and it'd be kind of a dream come true to play for them because, you know, growing up, I had a little book with my picture in the, you know, there's a face hole and it was the 49ers. So we can go find that book and kind of compare it to what could happen next year. And that'd just be really cool.
Well, listen, the 49ers have a chance to be at the top of the draft next year, depending of course on how this year goes. But what if it went the other way? And what if you wound up on the opposite coast with a team like the New York Jets? How would you feel about leaving Wyoming, leaving California where you grew up and going to play on the East Coast? How would that sit with you?
It wouldn't bother me one bit. You know, I'm a football player, and I love football, and wherever I get the opportunity to go play, that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, I hope on helping a program and a franchise in any way possible. You know, I want to be able to come in right away and, you know, be the man and start winning games.
My last thing that I like to do on this podcast, Josh, is a few personal questions. And I want to know the last time that you cried.
Last time I cried, oh my God, my dog died last year, so I had a few tears for my dog. Yeah,
people don't realize how painful that could be. That's like losing a family member. If you don't have a dog, you don't understand.
Absolutely, and it was like my first dog, so I went out and I purchased her myself, and she was with me, you know, every time I was home, like every second of the day I was home, she was, you know, right by my side.
Have you gotten a replacement dog?
I have not. I'm actually going to wait on that a little bit. I don't want to feel that kind of pain for a while. So I'll wait on the dog, but you know, there's definitely a few more coming in the future.
Josh, if you had one last meal on the face of this earth, where would it be and what would it be?
Buffalo Wild Wings, and it'd be a large order of boneless wings, mild, extra wet.
Let me tell you something. There's an endorsement contract with Buffalo Wild Wings just waiting for you now that you've said that. You realize that, right?
Absolutely. You know, the more the merrier for wings. I'm a big chicken wing guy, so absolutely.
And if you could invite a few people to join you for those wings at Buffalo Wild Wings, any three people, alive, dead, in history, in person, who would it be and why?
Three people. Okay, let's see. I'd go Tom Brady. He's my favorite quarterback. I keep my dad there. I'd have to, because he'd like to meet Tom too. So that's two out of three. See, who's the last one? How about Adam Schefter?
Oh, that's a great one, Josh. And you know what? I'd love to join you and Tom. Tom is a fellow Michigan man. You're somebody that I've admired from afar, and I'd like to meet the man who raised you. So we have a great time meeting Buffalo Wild Wings. You've never gotten the chance to meet Tom Brady before?
Not yet. You know, I've talked to his agent one or two times, but, you know, never the man himself.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. You'd really like him.
I'm sure he is.
Hey, Josh, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. I want to wish you the very best of luck this upcoming season. At some point, I look forward to meeting you in Indianapolis whenever you decide to go to the Combine, and I wish you the very best of luck in your senior year and with your NFL career.
Thank you so much, Adam. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Josh.